This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, we'll hear about the Taking Root campaign and get an update on its effort to plant 2 million trees. First up this afternoon, con artists preying on the unwary is nothing new, and bogus door-to-door salesmen and service providers still work their scams in neighborhoods across the country. But the internet, email, and cell phones have provided criminals with much more power to cheat far more people. Last spring, the Cincinnati Enquirer partnered with Call for Action, an international nonprofit network of consumer hotlines to help people in our area resolve problems they're having with a business, government, or other organizations. Amber Hunt, consumer advocate reporter with the Cincinnati Enquirer, joins us to discuss the paper's watchdog efforts and some of the more common scams and frauds to be aware of. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Amber, good to see you this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
It seems like there's so much more fraud going on these days with identity theft and hacking of major retailers to steal credit and debit card information. Is this a modern-day crime wave of some type?
It certainly feels that way. I mean, I'm sure that there have been a million scams that we didn't hear about as easily before because people weren't tweeting about them and putting them on Facebook and so forth. But it definitely feels like there are more that we're reporting nowadays, and they're different than they used to be. Like you said, it's much more technological in nature now.
The Ohio Attorney General just released the top 10 consumer complaints of 2014. Did you happen to see that list?
No, I haven't yet.
Okay, one of the things that popped up on it this year is identity theft. It's now on that list. It comes in at number 8. And it says the number of complaints to the Ohio Attorney General doubled last year. Does something like that surprise you?
Not at all, because, people are finding themselves victims in the weirdest ways. They're clicking on links that they shouldn't click on and giving people access to their computers. And it just really opens them up to, providing personal information that allows for their identities to be stolen. I'm not surprised at all.
Now, you recently wrote about your own list of top scams and frauds that you need to watch out for this year. And topping your list was a scam involving the college football national championship that was played Monday night. What was that about?
Well, pretty much any time there's something exciting going on, you're guaranteed that somebody will try to turn it into a scam. So as soon as it became clear that Ohio State was going to be playing, people put up bogus tickets for sale. And a lot of times it's really just the same old scam for a different product because, a red flag, and I'm really trying to emphasize this because I'm trying to get this out there. If anybody asks you to ever pay with a prepaid credit card, it's 100% bogus. So don't do it. And that's what was happening. People were offering tickets for sale saying, hey, get me payment via this prepaid card. And
or
then
maybe
the
wire me
came.
The money or send it by via Western Union. Or
exactly.
That kind of thing.
So Western Union is still and they try really hard to combat it, but there's still a big one. But the modern day version of that are these prepaid credit cards.
And this is like you're saying, this is something that could happen pretty much around any big event or any big sporting event.
It not only can it does. I guarantee it will. It just always does.
So just be wary. If they're asking for cash and they won't let you use a credit card, that's a red flag.
Absolutely. And credit cards are tricky, too. But those prepaid ones, especially, they are just ripe for exploitation.
Amanda, the Microsoft tech support scam is something that popped up on your list for 2015. That's one that pops up quite often, isn't it?
Yeah, I've been able to write so many stories on that, and each one it's almost fun for me at this point because somebody recently called up and they gave me some phone number, said I'm supposed to call this number, and anyway I got to call and harass the scammer, so that was great. But it's amazing to me that people fall for it because they're told your computer is infected, and logically, it's impossible to know this. Microsoft is not monitoring your computer to see if you've got some kind of virus. So don't fall for that.
You got to actually call up and harass the scammer. What was that conversation like?
This is the perfect job for me because I was always kind of a punk kid anyway, and now I get to be justified in being a punk to some of these people because they're scamming other people, and so I have no, you know, ethical qualm with saying, what is wrong with you? How do you sleep at night? So yeah, I call up and one was the IRS scam that has been going on for more than a year now. And this woman, you know, tried to pretend that she really was with the IRS, but in reality, I knew she wasn't. And I said, well, I think you're actually just scamming people. You know, why do you do that? Why? What's the point of this? And she said, well, people are fools and they keep calling. So I got to write about that, too.
So a lot of people fall for this stuff.
Oh, they do. And it's really sad, especially when you think about the types of people who are most vulnerable. You know, they might be elderly or there might be another reason that they're vulnerable. And people, bad guys are happy to exploit that.
You know, you were talking about the IRS scam. Can you give us the specifics of how that works?
Right. So this one is you'll get a phone call telling you that you owe back taxes and you have to pay up right away or you're going to jail. And they are scary. They sound very, very serious when they're talking to you. And sometimes they even have somebody else call after they hang up and this other voice will say he's the sheriff or what have you and we're coming to your house. And they ask for that back debt to be paid, surprise, with a prepaid credit card. And it's just completely fake. The IRS will never call and demand money on the spot. It's you know, a paper trail heavy organization.
So this sounds kind of like the arrest warrant scam.
Exactly.
Which we'll come and get you if you don't pay this fine. And by the way, we only take cash.
It's exactly the same, just a different premise. Yep.
And again, the red flag is a prepaid debit card, credit card kind of thing, or
exactly, yeah.
Send me the money via Western Union or whatever, right?
Yes.
Now, another one that you had on your list that is quite common, I've seen this one pop up in a lot of places, the one that says you can make thousands of dollars a week by working from home, which sounds great. But in reality, the truth is a lot different, isn't it?
It is, because, you know, I quit my job and tried to make $5,000. No, I didn't. That would be a bad idea. So the deal with those is it's not just that there's an ad for something that isn't true, but also they usually require you to invest money. Maybe you're buying some plans or you're buying some equipment or something like that. So you're actually losing money in the scam as well.
And how much money do people typically lose to something like that?
You know, it seriously can be, you know, $1,000 or more. It can be pretty hefty.
You know, another thing we're talking about the arrest warrant scam. Another variation of that is calling a parent or a grandparent and you claim to be the police and you've got their kid in custody. And again, it's the same thing. You have to pay bail or something or a fine to get them out of jail. And it's the same thing there, isn't it, as the arrest warrant scam and the IRS scam.
It is. There are a lot of variations on very similar scams.
So the key thing is even if this person sounds really, really threatening, like they're going to jump through that phone and grab that money out of your hand and haul you off to jail personally, don't fall for that one.
Don't fall for it. Make sure you know what you're getting yourself into. You know, try every way possible to verify that your grandson or whatever is actually in trouble. Chances are he's just, you know, at home on the couch.
What are some of the other scams and frauds that are on your list of things to watch out for, Amber?
Well, one of the ones that it's not as tech savvy. It's actually pretty old school. But there are a lot of calls we get from people who have paid somebody who's knocked on their door offering to do handiwork around the house. They pay them up front and then the person disappears. And if you had told me before we launched this initiative that would be as common as it is, I wouldn't have believed you. I would have thought, you know, because I've had people come and knock on my door too. But it is amazing how many people will hand over not just, you know, $50, sometimes $5,000-$6,000 they'll write a check for, and then the you know, supposed contractor disappears.
Any other scams people should be looking out for that are on your list for 2015?
There are a gajillion of them. And I could I could spend a long time. But mostly...
That's amazing, that many.
Mostly, the thing that I try to remind... I mean, you hear if it's too good to be true, it probably is. And that I can't tell you how many times that simple thought going through one of our callers' heads would have saved them thousands of dollars. So if something seems off, say you're looking for a puppy to buy and you find one online and gee, it's a really great price for this purebred, you know, be skeptical, especially when they ask you to pay via prepaid credit card.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation with Amber Hunt. You can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And if someone is a victim of a door-to-door scam and the individual caught, what are the chances the victim is ever going to see their money come back?
It is tricky, and it's definitely case by case. I mean, we get a lot of phone calls of that nature into Call for Action. And the truth is that some of them we help them go through the right channels, but we can't necessarily get their money back because, you know, somebody who's breaking the law, he's not going to listen to a mediation helper. He probably has already spent your money. So the important thing there is to follow through to go through the proper legal channels to make sure that there's a paper trail so that the next victim can look up and see, like, this guy is not on the level.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU, and we'll continue our conversation with Amber Hunt after the break. You can join in 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining me this afternoon, Amber Hunt, consumer advocate reporter with the Cincinnati Inquirer, as we discuss the paper's watchdog efforts and some of the more common scams and frauds to be aware of. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Amber, you've been a crime reporter in the past. In fact, you've written some true crime books as well.
I have.
How's all that mesh with being a consumer advocate reporter?
It actually is very, very similar. Because as a crime reporter, I focused on, you know, people getting taken advantage of, and my personal interest was always in the victim and the ripple effects of crime, and really that hasn't changed much. I'm looking at this, you know, I'm trying to empathize with the victims of these scams. So it's really just shifting over from criminal often to civil crimes.
Have you ever seen any case where a once legitimate business suddenly turns to fraud? They were reputable, and all of a sudden, for example, a builder who gets behind, or an investment advisor who suddenly needs money. Is that something that happens sometimes?
That does happen. A lot of times you'll see maybe somebody who has a spotty track record. So some jobs he'll finish and he'll be able to, you know, use those clients as references. But then the next job he won't. And it's really unfortunate then. But oftentimes if it's truly reputable and they're properly licensed and all that, they work hard to stay in the good graces of their customers.
513-419-7100 to join our conversation, and let's talk with Bonnie in Wyoming. Good afternoon, Bonnie. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi. I just want to tell your listeners that after my husband passed away, I got paperwork purportedly from the state of Michigan asking for deeds and birth certificates and practically every document you could think of, and so it looked strange right from the beginning because nobody would ask for all those documents. But they actually had a line, a phone number for identity theft, and he'd also never lived or worked in Michigan. They also had a phone number for identity theft, which was correct.
Right. Yeah, we see that a lot where somebody they'll have a kernel of real information in their spiel to give them the air of legitimacy. So, for example, the IRS scam, they will put in their letters or say on the phone irs.gov, which is actually the right address, but they are not part of it. And what bothers me so much about what you described is that you're not the right person to target. You're already going through something. They know this, and it just breaks my heart that there are people out there who go out of their way to target vulnerable people.
So, Bonnie, hopefully you were able to avoid this fraud.
Yes. Well, I knew he'd never lived or worked in Michigan, which, depending
on
when
you got
married,
that was the first clue. Okay.
Yes, that you might or might not know that. And then I just knew that I worked for government myself, and my mother was a lawyer, so I think that helped. But I knew that even if he had lived or worked in Michigan, the taxing authority wouldn't ask for the kind of documents
right.
that they did. And so I talked to someone, a friend of mine who worked in federal probation, and she put me onto an IRS agent, and they put some kind of alert on his tax documents.
Bonnie, thank you for the phone call. We appreciate it. Let's talk with Chris and Amelia. Good afternoon, Chris. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Well, thank you. My comment is I just got a note from the Ohio Department of Taxation that they're going to be slowing down some of the tax refunds as they check for identity theft. The other thing is that the IRS now has a pilot program where they issue a four-digit PIN number and make it much harder for people to get tax refunds when they should not, because they're stealing your identity and getting a refund and then disappearing.
Yeah, I'm really happy to hear the IRS is, I mean, they've been trying to fight a lot of these scams a long time. So whatever methods they're able to devise is going to be helpful. Every year there are people who go to file their taxes, finally get to it, and then are told, oh, you've already filed. Well, no, I didn't. And it's amazing how often that happens.
Thanks, Chris, for the phone call. Did you have
okay,
something
thank
else?
You.
Thanks much.
No, that's it.
Okay. Let's talk with Rick in Milford. Good afternoon, Rick. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Well, hello. Thanks for taking my call. The reason I called, I had just gotten off a conversation, hands-free in the car, so very little skin in the game. But somebody from Jamaica had called me to say that UPS was looking for me and wanted to bring me $5 million and a certificate for a new Mercedes-Benz.
Oh, lucky you.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, that's what I said. I jumped right on it. And the first thing I did was I asked him, what is the tracking number?
Good for you.
And I kept pushing him for, what is the tracking number? And he kept on waffling around for about 5 minutes.
Did he get to the point where he asked for some portion of the payment in advance or taxes on it or something? That's usually how that scam works.
No. I didn't even want to let him start to get to that point. I just wanted to waste his time.
Perfect.
By asking him for something.
Harassing a scammer.
I get a lot of emails and phone calls from people, especially when I'm able to write my columns and I describe giving somebody a hard time on the phone. I get wonderful responses from readers who say, you know, I read yours and I decided to have some fun myself. And it's just endless entertainment for me.
Rick, thanks for the phone call. We appreciate it. In Rick's case, sounds like the if it sounds too good to be true, it most definitely is too good to be true.
I don't know how often I either get a voicemail or an email that I read aloud to my husband and say, you know, guess what, honey? We just won $3 million. And he says, oh, that's great. I'll quit my job. And, you know?
Yeah. The sad reality, though, is that with scams that seem outrageous, they do work some of the time, or people wouldn't keep trying these things.
Absolutely. Because the payoff for the scammer, even though maybe it only works 0.01% of the time, the payoff is big enough that they keep doing it.
Let's talk with Wes in Clifton. Good afternoon, Wes. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I actually had a twofold comment. I wanted to say, one, that if anybody's ever getting any phone calls from a justice center or anybody like that saying that, you know, your grandson's in prison and you need to pay something like that, one, you'll never get a call from any kind of justice center, at least not in Hamilton County. And something else to keep in mind is that in Hamilton County, when you call, if you're actually an inmate making a call, it will tell you that it is a collect call from an inmate in the Hamilton County Correctional Facility. So they'll inform you of that before, you know, the call even starts. So that's something to keep out or keep in mind. And another thing I wanted to say is that with the door-to-door workers, you know, something to watch out for with that is that a lot of those guys will also be trying to case your house to try and come back and rob it at another time. That's something that's happened a lot in Clifton lately. And I actually just had that almost happen to me, 2 weeks ago, and the same guy came back and tried to do it again, and he actually robbed my neighbor's house.
Oh, yeah, actually, that's a moment where my my past as a crime reporter comes back, and I personally dealt with that as somebody living in Detroit. I had somebody case my house that way. So, of course, you have to be very leery of anybody coming to your door. The only thing I would caution on the inmate part is that as soon as somebody figures out that usually there's a recording or what have you to identify them as coming from, the scammer will then add a recording to the phone call to make it sound like. So always be careful, even if it sounds really, really legitimate.
Wes, right. Thank you for the call. Let's talk with John in Westwood. Good afternoon, John. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi, yeah.
Still there, John?
Oh,
we lost him. He was asking about the security measures of Western Union. We were talking about that earlier, where sometimes, you know, somebody will say, send me cash, either prepaid debit, credit card, or Western Union, that kind of thing. And I think you brought up that Western Union is trying to take steps to cut off that kind of thing.
They are. Their Twitter accounts and their website outlines a lot of their safety precautions very clearly. It doesn't help their business model that people have turned to them for, you know, these scams. So they definitely are very proactive in trying to thwart this stuff.
Amber, tell me about the Inquirer's partnership with Call for Action. Now, when did that start, and how's that developing so far?
Well, we began talking to them last winter, and then we finally were up and running in April, and it's been working out really well. I have to admit, I was a little skeptical when we started. As a journalist, I've never been in a partnership like this, and I just had no idea what to expect. But we started April 14th, I believe it was. So it's been about 9 months. And, you know, we help readers and non-readers alike. You don't have to be a subscriber to get our help. And we've gotten back more than $109,000 for people in 9 months.
In a nine-month period.
It's really amazing.
That is incredible. How do people get in contact with that?
So there are two ways to get in contact. One is you call during our office hours. So it's 11 to 1 weekdays, and that's 513-768-8833. And hopefully that'll be on a website or something.
It will be.
And also you can go 24/7 and fill out a form online, and that's at cincinnati.com/callforaction. And there you put in the pertinent information, and we have volunteers, and they come in, they do this work for free. They just want to help you. They go through your cases and they try to reach a resolution. And when it comes to our success rate, I mean, so far we close about 30% of the cases that come in. We close about 50% of them when you take out ones that the caller actually, you know, maybe filled in a form but decided not to pursue it, or it's not really a pertinent complaint, like maybe they're just complaining about parking on the street or what have you. So when it comes to legitimate complaints that we can do something about, we're over 50%.
And the link and the phone number are on our website as well, wvxu.org. So you can find those there. What about filing a complaint with the Ohio Attorney General? I wonder how many times people don't report stuff when really they should be.
Right. And they're a great resource. There's kind of a different level. So when you're having a problem because you've ordered an appliance and maybe it showed up and it was a lemon and it's not working out, by all means, start with us because we might be able to get that fixed just through a couple of phone calls. If it starts to elevate beyond that, we actually partner with the AG's office so that we know when to pass along a case.
What's your top advice for avoiding a scam?
Oh, just, you know,
keep your radar up, right?
Yeah, you know, I wish we didn't have to be so cynical in this world, but we do. You know, you have to remember that it's very unlikely that you're going to win the lottery, especially when you didn't enter it. And then my common refrain, and forgive the language, but this is meant to remind people, don't click the damn links. So when you open your email and somebody says, you know, I've got money for you, all you have to do is fill out this form and there is a link. Don't click that damn link. Just don't do it.
Okay.
Because
that's pretty emphatic.
Yeah. I promise you all they are doing is trying to get some personal information. And if you're lucky, it will just be to spam you. And if you're not so lucky, it's going to be to steal your identity or straight up steal your money.
Is there any one case that you're really proud of that you helped to resolve?
You know, there is. There's one that I personally helped. There was a woman on the Kentucky side in Newport who she was 100 years old, and she wasn't getting money back from the bank that she had coming to her. She had some fees assigned to her that, you know, really weren't legitimate. Because somebody had stolen some of her checks and they weren't returning the money. So I actually called the bank myself on that one, and that was reversed. That was very rewarding because she was, you know, just straight up victimized, and she felt like she was victimized twice, first by the person who stole her checks and then by the bank that wouldn't stand by their client.
Amber, thank you for joining me this afternoon. Good talking to you.
Thank you so much.
Amber Hunt, consumer advocate reporter with the Cincinnati Inquirer.